Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. That is 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans and your host on Orphans No More. Joining me today is Mike Barry, author, blogger, speaker, adoptive father, and former foster parent. Mike is the co-creator, along with his wife Kristen, of the blog Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, which has a global audience of more than 100,000 followers monthly. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on. You and Kristen are parents to 8 children, ages 8 through 31, all by adoption. I'm sure you knew that, but I'm just letting our listeners know.
Yes, it is.
I've got 8 kids, too. We know when we have 8 kids in the house. What led you and Kristen to consider adoption?
Well, interesting story. For as big of an advocate as I am today, and, you know, as you said, co-creating Confessions and all the other work that we do in the adoption and foster care arena, I was a extremely big resistor, if you could say it like that, 16 years ago before we started this journey. And actually, going all the way back to our college days in the late 90s, we were on our college campus one cold November night. We were about 8 months away from getting married, maybe 7 months, not sure of the timeline thereabouts, but we were discussing family. We were discussing having kids. And Kristen looked at me and said, I want to adopt all of our kids. And I promptly looked at her and said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. And long story short there, and a little bit of an argument ensued. And we ended up really for the next couple of hours arguing about it. And what I often tell people is that it wasn't that I was against adoption, it's that I just didn't understand it. Mm. Kristen came from a family where adoption was a known thing. Her youngest brother was adopted from Bulgaria. Her grandfather was in the foster care system. He grew up in the foster care system and aged out. And so that was a known thing in their family. For me, it wasn't. Everybody came into the Barry family the old-fashioned way. So I just didn't understand it. Mm. And really, I wrestled with that for the next couple of years. And Kristen had committed to just, you know, praying for me. She's not a person that nags or, you know, continues to bring the topic up over and over and over again. She just committed to praying for me and waiting it out. And the long story short there is that God changed my heart. And really, that was a process that started in 2002. That change happened for me. That transformation happened from 2002. All the way into 2009, 2010. So it was a process. And that's really how we got started. A discussion one cold November night that I resisted and then resisted for a couple of years. And then there was a heart change. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Mm. The power of a praying wife, I'll add there. And 'cause similar situation, I think a lot of times the Lord does begin with, you know, the wife, the mom, and, you know, we have to pray for our husbands. My husband was a resistor too initially, but same thing. I just kind of tried to be quiet and just pray and really wanted him to hear from the Lord. And he did. Full house as well. So you,
sure.
your kids are adopted. Tell us a little bit about your kids, how they your first daughter came in 2002?
She did, yeah. April 2002, our very first adoption. And that was a private adoption through an agency here in Indianapolis, where we're from. And, you know, back then, we really kind of had, we didn't really have the broad view of adoption foster care that we do today. We actually, when we started, we thought, oh, well, we'll do an international adoption because that's what you did. That's what we thought everybody did.
Right.
Oh, well, that's what you do. And then through our home study process with that agency, the agency, the lady at the agency suggested, well, have you ever thought about domestic adoption? And she began to tell us about their process. And literally that day we changed. That was January 2002. We changed what we were, the process we were going through from international to domestic. And so our firstborn daughter was private, was a private adoption. And then the next seven adoptions were foster to adopt.
Wow.
So I'm sorry, the next six, did I get that right? Yeah. Gosh, I'm losing count. The next six adoptions were were foster to adopt. And then our last adoption was a private adoption. And she's also our oldest child, the last adoption.
Okay.
And she was 25. She was 25 when that happened. She's now 31.
Wow.
So that was 6 years ago. And then we have, to give you a rundown of what our family looks like, we have, as you said, eight children all through adoption. We have four boys, four girls. We did not plan it that way. It just happened that way. Our youngest son is 8 years old. Our oldest daughter is 31. So we have an 8, 9, and 10 year old. And then we have a 14, 15, 16 year old. Then we have a 26 year old and a 31 year old. So
wow.
Our four oldest children are our daughters, and our four youngest are sons. I don't know what it is about even numbers.
Yeah.
Kristen and I do like order. If you can believe that, in a house with eight kids, we like order. We don't like clutter. So I guess that was, appeasing to our spirit, if you'd say.
Yeah. Wow. So that is wonderful. So you're busy parenting your large family, eight adopted children. So how did your ministry begin?
Well, in 2000, the years between 2009 and 2011, we were on the struggle bus. Our oldest son had been diagnosed with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. Actually, his diagnosis is alcohol-related neurodevelopmental disorder. And if you're familiar with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, FASDs, as we mm-hmm. call them, ARND, which is his diagnosis, and one of my other son's diagnosis, are under the umbrella of FASDs. And then again, listeners who are familiar with this disorder know that when a child has fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, it's because their birth mother consumed drugs and alcohol in utero while they were pregnant, and the child suffered brain damage that's irreversible, particularly to the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for executive functioning skills, also where you would find impulse control, social behaviors, things like that. And so it causes a lot of out of control behavior, a lot of impulsivities, a lot of erratic behavior, sometimes aggressive behavior. So in those years, 2009 to 2011, we were dealing with it with our oldest son. We were at our wit's end. We were dealing with a child who was completely out of control, impulsive, aggressive, really, I would say it this way, held our family hostage. We lived in and still do live in one of the wealthiest counties in the nation, which is here in central Indiana, in the top 3%. So it's suburbia. It's the portrait of suburbia. And so, we live in a suburban neighborhood. And when we were going through this, we just felt isolated because the behaviors that my child was displaying is not something you could just go next door, have a cup of coffee with your neighbor and discuss, and they would understand.
Right.
Which adoptive and foster parents listening to this right now are shaking their heads right now. They're nodding. I know that because every time we post on Confessions about this topic, we get loads of emails just saying, I understand, I get it, I'm right there with you. So in that season, we were very isolated, very alone. And literally, we would pull our car into our garage, we'd shut the garage door behind us, and we would close our shades and our doors, and we would hunker down in our house. Because we didn't know what our child would do out in the neighborhood. So it was lonely. It was very, very lonely. And we resisted any kind of outside contact for a long time. And then we had this woman who worked for an agency down in Indianapolis that specialized in post-adoptive programs invite us to a support group happening in Indianapolis. And it was a support group that would be happening for, I think, 8 weeks. And when I found out about it, my response was, absolutely not. There's no flipping way on God's green earth I'm going to that support group. And the reason for that is that I had been in support groups in the past that were supposedly helping me. And all it was judgmental. And it was a lot of telling me all the things I was doing wrong as a parent. And I'd walk out feeling like a bigger failure. And so when I was invited to this support group, I thought, I don't want to go to that because I don't want to walk out feeling like I'm a bigger failure than I already felt, because I already feel like a big failure. And so I resisted, but they were offering free childcare and free food. So as any foster and adoptive parent knows who's in this trench, when you get free childcare and free food, you go, even if it's staring at drywall for 2 hours, you go, because it gives you the break, that mental break. So we went, and I found out later on, Kristen was feeling the same way, did not want to go. But this person was persistent, encouraging to us. So we showed up at the support group. We had our meal. We checked our kids into the free childcare. Then we went upstairs into this big boardroom with a big conference room table. And as we sat down, about seven other couples joined us in the room. And they all walked in, and nobody was looking at anybody else. Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was interacting. We came to find out later on, they all were feeling the same way. We don't want to go through this. We don't even know why we're here. We're here for the free childcare and free food, basically. And we're all sitting there quiet. And all of a sudden, this facilitator walks in and sits down. And I'm thinking, oh, great. Here we go. Here we go. And she looks at us and she says, why don't we each go around and tell our stories, how we got here, what our family makeup is, and what we're struggling with. And one by one, every family went around. We were the last family sitting at the table, last couple, and everybody began to share openly their struggles on this journey, their hopelessness, the wounds emotionally and physically they've sustained from their kids. The disorders their children have, the problems with the police their children have had, the broken furniture in their house, the broken dishes, the trauma, the pain, the fear. And as they went around, my heart began to beat faster and faster. And then we got to us and we shared openly. And the whole time, this was the best part, the whole time I'd look over and I'd see this facilitator, and every now and then I'd look at her and she'd just nod. And every now and then she'd just say quietly, I know how hard that is. You're not alone. And we walked out that night, got in our van, and I looked at Kristen and I said, I don't know what it is, but I feel alive because of this. I feel like I'm filled with hope. And she said, yeah, me too. And we discovered that night that we walked out of there, our issues with our kid were not solved at all, but we felt hope because we discovered for the first time on this journey that there were others just like us, that we were not alone. And there is something healing and powerful in simply hearing someone else's story and discovering you're not alone. And from that support group, I tell this story because from that support group, the idea for Confessions of an Adoptive Parent was birthed. The idea for a voice that existed online that was real and authentic, but also filled with hope, was born that night. And that's where Confessions of an Adoptive Parent originated from. That's that room, that boardroom, that conference room. And we started it from scratch. We just decided, you know what, we're just going to post honestly and openly about this journey, but we're never going to write a post and not give people hope. And that's what we did. That started in 2012. And what we did not realize was that God was going to use that for big, big things. And it just skyrocketed from there. And more people began to share the posts. They began to spread outside of the U.S., across the country, around the globe. And what started off as a little blog with about 500 followers has now grown to a global platform with over 100,000 readers in 23 different countries around the world. And it's been beyond amazing. So that's really how that started. That's really where we got started. And the rest, I would say, is history, but there's more to share with that.
Yeah.
Beyond this. So
we're going to get to that. And I'm one of those monthly readers now as well, one of those 100,000 readers who follow your blog. So I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Mike Barry. Mike is co-creator, along with his wife, Kristen, of the blog Confessions of an AdoptiveParent.com. He is also author of several books, including the book The Adoptive Parent Toolbox, The Weary Parent's Guide to Escaping Exhaustion, and Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, Hope and Healing from the Trenches of Foster Care and Adoption. Mike's wife, Kristen, is also author of the book Born Broken, which I just ordered off Amazon myself. Born Broken is about their family struggles raising their son with fetal alcohol syndrome, spectrum disorder. Mike, I appreciate all of the support resources you offer for foster and adoptive families because it can be a very isolating place to live. Anyone mm-hmm. listening who's a foster or adoptive parent can relate to that. I can relate to that. Tell us about your most recent project, the Oasis Community, which is kind of launched from your blog now.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2012, we created Confessions of an Adoptive Parent. It's primarily, I would say 98% of it is a blog. And again, it's spanned the globe, giving hope to hundreds of thousands of foster adoptive parents. But one of the things, going back about a year ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, one of the things we began to notice was that through our Facebook page, which is also same title, Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, we began to get these messages from people. And then we also began to hear things when we were at live events, because we travel the country and speak all year long, as well as emails from people. And they were all, there was this common theme. People were saying, yeah, man, if I could just get on the phone with you guys for like 10 minutes, or you know what, I would love to be part of a support group like you're talking about in that post, but I live in rural Arkansas and I'm the only foster parent in this county. Literally, somebody said that to us.
Wow.
At a live event. And then we would get these emails that would say things like, gosh, if I could just, you know, we have this support group in my community, but it's once a month. And in between there, that time, I'm just struggling. And I just wish I could connect with people. And we began to think about this and hear this, and our team began to process this. And we realized Confessions of an Adoptive Parent is already a solid platform. So off of that, let's birth another site that provides that 24/7 support and resource like people asking for. That it provides not just written word encouragement, but actually the opportunity to connect with somebody, a live flesh and blood human being on the other end of your computer that's there to talk with you and encourage you, maybe even get on a video conference, kind of like we're doing right now, and talk to you voice to voice. And then not only that, providing monthly resources, video resources with being experts and professionals who can give valuable insight into the struggles that foster and adoptive parents face or the disorders that their child has. And so this dreaming and this scheming and this thinking led us to launch Oasis Community, which is an online support and resource site. And it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's resources there that are we publish monthly video resources with leading experts like Dr. Ira Chasnoff, Deborah Gray, experts in trauma attachment. We even do a live Q&A call with a therapist monthly called Ask a Therapist. And so walking in theme and step with Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, this provides the next step, the next layer. Like, okay, I'm encouraged by the posts, but how do I connect with somebody in real time? How do I find, picture it like this. You hear this world-renowned expert give this seminar, and you're thinking, oh, if I could just get 15 minutes of their time to pick their brain.
Right.
Well, we've actually created a video resource called Backstage Pass, where you can, for a half hour to an hour, listen to an expert like Dr. Deborah Gray or Dr. Gary Feldman talk about brain development or attachment. So this is a monthly, we publish content monthly. It's a monthly membership site, and you can, we actually right now, I think as you're airing this show right now, we've opened up summer enrollment, briefly. It's open from July 17th through July 26th, I believe. I don't have that information in front of me, but if you go to oasiscommunity.me, you can learn all about Oasis. And there's actually, we're running a special discount right now where you get all of this for $5. $5. All this content I'm talking about, $5. So yeah, so that's the deal.
So that's amazing. So confessionsofanadoptiveparent.com is where you'll find the blog. And then how do they find Oasis Community? Say that again.
You visit oasiscommunity.me. So okay. .me. Yeah, and you can read all about what we offer, what Oasis offers, and then there's even a place to join.
Wonderful.
On there. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We have about 400 members all over the world, from all over the world right now.
Already.
In Oasis, and it's growing. It's growing. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Already from our 400 members. So, and it's growing.
Great.
It's a great community. The other thing I'll add to that is not only do you have what I described in there, but there's also a community forum where you can interact with other members. And the discussion there is just unbelievable. I mean, just to hear people sharing with one another, encouraging one another. And it's a secure state, so it's not a site. It's not like our blog. If you post a comment on our blog, that's like, but if you're in Oasis, Oasis is a secure site. It's private. So
great. Great. So, Mike, as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear?
You know, your listeners probably have picked this up already through what I've shared, through what we do, but we have a huge heart for supporting foster and adoptive parents on this journey. We have a huge heart for encouraging them, giving them that support and that love. You know, that's what we've dedicated everything to doing. We know what this journey is like. We know how difficult it is. And we know, but we also, here's the other thing. We also know the beauty. See, I don't want to make it sound doom and gloom, because we believe the leading thought in our hearts and our minds is that this is beautiful. Our kids are amazing. And sure, they're difficult at times. And we've been through the ringer with our oldest son, and even some of our other kids, but this is beautiful. And we celebrate that beauty. We know you love your kids, but we know this is hard. And so what we want to be for you is that voice that's saying, you can do this. There is hope. Don't give up. So yeah, that's my heart. That's my heart right now.
So Mike, and really you're talking about community, and that's a huge piece of this, because foster and adoptive parents should not go it alone.
Correct.
So there's the community through the blog and through your Oasis community. Foster and adoptive parents need community, each other that understands what it's like to be in the trenches. There are resources available. And I love what you said, that there is a lot of beauty on this journey. It's hard, but there's a lot of beauty.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So again, if you want to learn more, if you want to check out Mike's blog, confessionsofanadoptiveparent.com. Your books, Mike, where can we get them? On your blog, Amazon? How do we get the books?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can go to Amazon, and we have two books. We have The Adoptive Parent Toolbox, which was our co-title that Kristen and I wrote together. If you visit adoptiveparenttoolbox.com, you can read all about that book and also order a copy. Of course, you can also go to Amazon. Kristen's book, if you visit bornbrokenbook.com, you can also grab a copy there. And I will say this, I'm actually this coming winter releasing a book called Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, based on our blog, but it's all new stories, all new content. And right now, if you visit confessionsofanadoptiveparent.com/book, then you can read all about that. It's where it's available for pre-order right now. And when you pre-order, we're giving away a what we call our Confessions Bonus Suite that has a bunch of freebies, you know, added resources that we're creating, a couple of video series that we're doing, providing for free. So you pre-order the book, which I think is like $14.99 or something like that on Amazon. And then you get access to this bonus suite that basically has like a $497 value.
Wow.
With all the resources, but you get it completely free. We love free. We love giving stuff away.
Love free. Well,
yeah.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for the tremendous support you and Kristen provide for foster and adoptive families.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. We love it.
So, and it's confessionsofanadoptiveparent.com. We hope you enjoyed today's show. If you would like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on radio show to find a menu of the shows to choose from. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More and executive director of JFO. I would love to come and share with your church, small group, women's ministry, or youth group about why and how we must walk out James 1:27. To learn more, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.